Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard, the former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the Flannel Wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hey, schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 44th episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Secrets of Chambers. What in the world? That was from last episode because I tried to be funny. Harry Potter on the Chambers of Secrets. It's just one chamber, guys.
What the heck?
One chamber.
How many chambers? Oh, okay.
But this is Dobby's Reward, and it's the last chapter of this book. We're so excited. Before we dive in, we will fill you in on the latest bottle of cottage ketchup quiz Mr. William Weasley with trivia questions and expand our knowledge about magical and fantastic beasts.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Lottie is not getting any reward for that, you know, what? Reading of the intro there.
Hello. Wow. I thought it was pretty hilarious.
Slam on. I'm kidding. It was great. I'm totally messing around.
And they say Germans don't have any sense of humor.
And they think Germans don't have a sense of humor. Oh my gosh. So
we don't.
No, you do. You do. It's just different. Yeah. So anyway, how you doing?
Good. Really good. Because we updated our little studio a little bit, which also enabled us to start playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Yes. We had our first run through. First little live stream wasn't great. There possibly a situation we had to apologize to some of our listeners, some of you guys who witnessed that, and some even some folks from YouTube who don't listen to the podcast. They just listen to the shorts and stuff. Like, they popped in for that new live stream that we did, and we almost burnt
the cottage down,
the cottage to the ground.
Yep,
on accident. Thank goodness it's made out of sterner stuff, and that we were quick to, you know, fix the situation. I thought we had too much power.
I thought it was something with the computer. I thought it was, you know, overheated it.
Right. Hogwarts Legacy is so powerful that it started to like overpower our brand new computer and monitor. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like magical sparks were flying. It was like someone had,
there were honestly sparks.
And we tried to delete that video from everywhere possible.
It's probably
on the internet.
Still somewhere on Twitch. Somebody tell us, is there, when you stream live on Twitch after that, does it automatically
save the video somewhere?
We have no clue. Maybe it's still there.
Because I remember the first time, so the first like pop or like, but by the way, what happened was we had like an electrical cable that was essentially it was leaning up against our heater because we had rearranged the whole room.
Yes.
We had rearranged all the stuff, all the electronics. So yours truly, the tech wizard, made a big mistake and accidentally didn't notice that I had thrown, in my haste to put the computer together, I had thrown a cable over against the wall.
Yeah.
Well, that cable had power running to it. Oh my gosh. And that was, so be very careful, friends.
Yeah, please be careful when you turn the heater on and it's exposed to, you know, ours is like,
those things are
just
dangerous.
Leaned against the wall. Yeah.
Those things are dangerous. And it was like, normally there's nothing next to it. There's normally nothing close to it that could really even be a problem.
No.
But this was like, in our rearranging of things, you just tossed it and hadn't got fully around to cleaning up because we were just setting up, going right into the, into the live stream, thinking this is going to be fun, playing Hogwarts Legacy. Within 2 to 3, maybe within 5 minutes, that thing started going like, pop, pop, choo,
there were like really sparks flying. And you look at me, I remember,
I
you
like,
know, we get a flashback to the egg in the
exploding microwave
and something else we can't remember. What
was
it?
Yeah,
what was
the other thing that really shocked me? I can't remember. Something where I was just like, like the egg is the one I will never forget because I was just sitting there cooking my stuff and the microwave starts just like popping and exploding and this freaking egg just blew up. And that's what this reminded me of because I sit there and if you saw me on the thing, I was probably like, like I just
I know,
like.
But first you were laughing a little bit because you were so long relaxed.
I was laughing because I had no idea what was going on. I was like, whoa. And then I went to complete anger. I was so upset. And poor Angelina. By the way, we were live on Instagram at the same time. Lottie's like, got the camera on me. I mean, we've got an electrical wire popping off over here. And so, like, I'm like yelling at... I'm not, yeah, well, I was. I was looking at Lottie going...
You know when you're panicking.
I stopped the stream. Instantly, yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that I did because we, like, walked back over there. You know, some choice words, some adult language happen because you're shocked.
I mean, you're panicking because it almost caught on fire.
Yeah, like, are you kidding me? Well, how did that even happen? Like, what the? And then, like, so Lottie was live, and instead of turning the live off, she just set the phone down. So it's black. It all goes black, but you could still hear us. Poor Angelina is still on there. And I remember she messaged me. She was like, I was like, what did you think was happening? And she was like, I just heard you yelling. At like Lottie for like not shutting down the stream or something. I think that's when I walked back over to the phone because we were clear across the, you know, the way we got away from our setup here. But that was that's wild.
My first reaction, by the way, I have so, you know, sometimes when you're just panicking, you do such irrational, illogical things.
Yeah,
I had my heating pad on my lap because I was like. freezing over there, even though the heater was turned on, whatever. And I unplugged the heating pad, even though the sparks were flying across the table at your end. I was like, "That must be the heating pad." Plugged. Well, there's like 100 other plugs.
Yeah, because I remember I came over and I was just like, I looked at the heating. I was like, "Is this plugged in?" And you're like, "No, I unplugged it right away." And I was like, "Oh my gosh!" So.
Straight panic.
Yeah, I messaged a few of you guys about it, and thanks for everybody who was like, you know, kind or whatever. But the Instagram was still rolling, and we had like just, you know, Angelina, a couple other people in there who then bounced, and you know, it was just funny because it all happened within a matter of minutes.
I mean, now we can laugh about it, and we're very. I mean, the rest of the night, I just
thanked
the heavens that we are still here. Nothing is burned down. Our mistake was forgiven.
It is one of those things, like, it is a scary thing.
It truly is. Actually.
House fires that start, right? Like, we talk about this at school sometimes. We're always practicing our fire drills and things like that, and it's because they do happen, and when they happen, it's terrible. Like, the smoke and all that, like, that's what will kill you before the fire, actually. And so, I was just sitting down here thinking, like, okay, that's a very easy way where in which a kid could accidentally, it just breaks your heart. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way. Unfortunately, just where we live, that's the unit that they have. It's this exposed heater, which I hate.
Yeah, we probably won't get that for our own cottage one day.
We didn't have that prior to this, and then I'm sitting here going like, oh, man. It's Yeah, it takes some getting used to figure out, like, yeah, let's get a steer clear
and
of
now,
that.
I mean,
yeah.
Good thing is now we just completely turned the heater off. We're not going to turn it on this year anymore.
But that here's the thing, simply was across the room and, like, pulled that cable and just slid it across the floor. Yeah. Not thinking it would go all the way to the floor, or I'm sorry, to the wall or to the heater. Just, I need this out of the way, and I didn't even look behind me. And I just kept working over here, didn't think about it. Everything set up, we would have, had we not have done the stream, we would have looked around and picked up, right? We would have just been like, that's, okay, that doesn't need to be here, that's unplugged. Yeah. You would have looked around, but we were just super in a hurry to, like, have fun with it and go to Hogwarts and everything. Oh, safety first, friends. Yeah. So,
yes.
All right, enough of that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? What do you think of the game?
The game is wonderful. I absolutely have, so I'm playing as a Hufflepuff, you're playing as a Ravenclaw, obviously. And it has been great.
Oh my goodness.
We just got our wand. So immersive. I mean, I just got my wand. You're going to be getting yours. And we kind of went to Ollivander's. And it's.
Oh, it's such a cute little shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't stop looking around little shops and seeing what they have, the pictures.
Right.
Their little hat, scarf, and jacket or coat hung up there. And you can almost imagine they walk in the morning, hang it up there. He just gets to work. Reading one of his books, or just, I don't know. It's so awesome, and I it helps me so much expand the Potterverse wizarding world in my head.
Well, it's does. Great. I mean, Peeves is there, right? So we see Peeves.
I gotta say, I'm not a huge fan of how they... I mean, it's just, I guess I'm so used to Peeves from the first video games.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the picture of him I have in my head, and it's really, really hard to get rid of that. So,
I see.
But if it's the first time you get to see Peeves, it's probably cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it goes to say, for me, I've never played that video game. So
how did you
me,
imagine
like
Peeves? Before that?
Not like that.
Not like that, okay.
Not colorful, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that description is in there, but I never really
He has a red something, like a jacket or some he's
oh
wearing
my
red
gosh.
in the original games.
Should we do a how powerful is Peeves? I feel like we should.
I mean, he's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been really good though. It's been really cool just to kind of go out and about and attend classes and get used to the game. It was really cool. Cameron, my good friend Cameron, popped on during our live stream, so that was fun to see him.
Fun. Yeah.
And he's been enjoying the game. He said what you said, which is it's extremely immersive.
Yeah.
And we also have, like, our Harry Potter posters, our books out. We've got an ambience video going on while we're also playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's just awesome. We're
and the
a blast.
Combat elements are, there's way more of that than in the original computer games. And every time, I'm like, I haven't played, like, combat games like that for a while. So where you have to, you know, react and be really fast and remember all the different combinations. Of buttons and stuff.
Right.
And I always get so sweaty. And I mean, you watched me. Like, I don't think anyone should see what kind
of
person I turn into when I'm fighting some of the trolls and stuff.
No kidding. So, I mean, you guys know Lottie's a sweetheart. She's wonderful, easygoing, just very go with the flow. You're sweet. And let's just say... You're not when you're fighting those bad guys. I was like, huh? I've never seen you play video games like that before, and I was literally floored. That was not streamed, unfortunately. I wish it were streamed because
I'm glad it was not.
You were... Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to post it.
I know.
Because I was like, excuse me? And then you snapped at me because I was trying to tell you what to do, and you're like, all right, I'm out of here. This is, you know, you deal with that monster on your own.
Yeah.
So
I was sweating.
Yeah, you did a great job, though. It's fun. If you guys have had good thoughts, I mean, people were checking in on us, which was cool during the live stream, just to say, how are you enjoying it? I love this game. It's cool. What do you think? Have you got to this part yet? And we're working our way through, so we're going to be doing different playthroughs. I think on Fridays, we're going to try Fridays and Saturdays, maybe play like an hour and just stream that for you guys, and hopefully we won't have any more... hopefully the laughs it'll be different. It'll be a different vibe next time we get on there.
But hey, we learned a lot that night about, you know, how to set up a stream, how to audio video versions and stuff like that. So that took a while. I mean, if you think you just put the game on and click stream, it's not that easy.
Not even close.
So
gladly,
I mean, thankfully I have this tech wizard over here.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's doing.
Right. Well, I mean, kinda. I've been trying to do a couple different things. And so just some updates as we're finishing up Chamber of Secrets here. Over on our YouTube channel, Harry Potter Hangout, we post the podcast. We've got a link there. It's, if you look at one of the tabs, it says podcast, and we've got Shell Cottage up there. I'm updating all of that. I posted on social media that we're updating all of it with kind of a better audio spectrum and a visual piece that I think is fun and cool.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, you know, get that up and going, and then we're going to be pulling out the chapter summaries that you guys have heard and hopefully enjoyed, and we're pulling those out as single videos on YouTube, so feel free to go check those out. Going to make a playlist and kind of do a big video there. We're also going to be dropping for the next book, in between the chapters, we are going to be doing sort of like a 5, 10, 15 minute discussion. Not exactly sure how long it's going to be. I'd like around 15 to 20 minutes. I think it's a good length.
Yeah.
For a discussion type YouTube video that's also a podcast. So we'll be thinking about both aspects of that. Like, we'll be on camera talking about some of the shorts that I make and talking about some of the Harry Potter theories and deeper topics. And the reason I want to do that is because I've always found that it's fun to stretch yourself as you are in a reread, and you're way back at the beginning of the series. It is fun to go to the end and be thinking about what is coming, so you can find those connections and you can find those little Easter eggs early on in the series. Yes. So we've always set this up as a reread, so we were expecting people to have read the series, and if you haven't, then, you know, go read the series, come back, because I think it's a really good experience.
It is.
I always want to encourage kids, people who are new to Harry Potter, to just read it without unless you find a podcast that is doing a first-time read-through, which is rare. But if you find that, for sure, you can definitely do that. But I feel like if you want to get into it, you need all those magical kind of surprises that happen, and you're like, whoa, and it just takes you on a journey that really captures you and gets you immersed in the world and you get invested. Yeah. So, but anyway, we're loving it. We're having a good time, and there's some updates for the podcast, and be looking forward to more EEE editions coming out as well. Yes. We've got those scheduled. We've got Harry Potter Theory scheduled, and we're updating the podcast and all those good things. So, yeah.
And hope this you guys is the last episode for Chamber of Secrets.
Crazy. Crazy. All right.
But before we begin, are you ready for some training?
Yes.
Arnold.
Give me the trivia.
What are the names of the four companion characters in Hogwarts Legacy that you interact most with from each house?
Okay. I know I've been looking for one, which is Poppy. I've yet to meet Poppy Sweeting. Is that her name?
Yes.
Poppy Sweeting?
She is. What house?
Hufflepuff.
She's the Hufflepuff.
Right.
Correct.
I've yet to come across her, though, and I'm really anxious to. I think maybe when I go to Herbology, that will
you
be the class where she pops up. I just spent some time with Natty. Onai.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was someone who is the Gryffindor.
Correct.
She's the Gryffindor, right? She's from Wagadu.
Wagadu, yeah.
Which is crazy. Her mother is there as the trans.
I love when she talks about it.
Figuration teacher, I think. No. Divination,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. And then Sebastian Sallow is the Slytherin.
Come across him.
I don't know the Ravenclaw guy. I've not come across him yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I have met him, but I couldn't remember his full. I knew it was something with A.
Okay.
Because I met him in the common room already. His name's Amid.
Okay.
Thakar or Thakar.
Okay.
Not sure. He's super interested in astronomy and stars and all that stuff. And he's a cool character, so I can't wait to learn more about him too. But yes, very good. So 3 out of 4.
Okay.
Not bad at all.
Feeling good. Yeah.
Okay, number 2. How many presents did Dudley Dursley receive on his birthday in total in the Philosopher's Stone?
Philosopher's Stone?
In total.
In total, so first, 36. 36, like last year, there were 37, right? So, but his mother says, we're going to get you 2 more, right? Yeah. So I would say 38.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
Let's go.
Although I wonder now.
Because when she went out, she
said, do we ever see them get the... They probably did. Even after the disaster went down at the zoo, they probably went and got... I mean,
probably even more so. But yeah, I feel like she said 2 more presents to make up for it. Because that way he wanted to have more than 37. Yeah.
Exactly. Good job.
Yeah.
But are you ready for one more question? And this is a review question. And I will throw these in because that way
are you
saving really...
all the trivia questions?
I am. Absolutely.
This is awesome. Good.
Okay, this is one question we've already asked before, and it's hard to remember, I know, but let's review this so we can remember it now, next time, for a really big bar trivia situation where no one else remembers it, okay?
Okay, all right.
How much does a ticket for the Night Buzz cost if you include a cup of hot chocolate?
Oh my gosh, I have no clue. Two Knuts and three Sickles.
Okay, so...
how much is it?
This is a quote from the book, mm-hmm. Prisoner of Azkaban. Mm-hmm. It cost Harry 11 sickles to get a ticket to London from Surrey. Sorry, this is not the quote from Azkaban. It will follow here in a second. Mm-hmm. So it cost Harry 11 sickles to get a ticket to London from Surrey, mm-hmm. but four... 14 sickles, he could have a cup of chocolate, while 15 would get him a hot water bottle and a toothbrush in any color you'd like. Whoa. Now, there has been two answers on the internet. Some said 14, some said 13, and now I figured out why there has been confusion,
okay.
whether it's 13 or 14, because in the book, it is, quote, 13, it's F-I-R teen. So 14 with an accent, I guess, that, you know, Stan Shunpike must have an accent.
Oh my.
And if you just glimpse at it, it looks like 13 if you don't look closely enough.
Right.
But it's F-I-R 13.
13.
If that makes sense. So
Stan,
that's why on the internet there's been both answers.
Clarify.
The actual answer is 14. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm not gonna lie, this is kind of funny because you earlier just said, is it like 11? Or, and then you were saying like 414. You were saying 414, and I was like, what did you just say? I couldn't actually hear what you were saying, so that's kind of
no
funny.
I know, because I wrote in here, I made a mistake. It's a spelling mistake. 14.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, spelled differently. So there you go, 14.
So
with a hot chocolate. If you don't pay for the chocolate, it's just 11 sickles. And if you want your toothbrush in any color and hot water,
mm-hmm.
you pay 15. It's a good deal.
Wait, okay. Yeah. All right, there you go. Review. I had no, yeah, I don't remember that one at all. So 11 sickles.
For the
night bus.
Ticket, yes. Yeah. Good job. So.
Okay. All right, moving on. Here
moving
we go.
Moving on to our Fantastic Beast of the Week.
What, you rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them. Come on.
And this time, I'm not just going to open a random page, but you will give me a number between 3 and 88.
Mm-hmm. 54.
34. 54. Yes. Wait, you said 54?
54.
5, 4.
See, we can't hit. See? We're having trouble.
Did we? Dun, da, da, da. I keep a list of all the beasts that we already talked about. Let's say, last time we talked about the Yeti. This time, we are going to talk about the Manticore. And this is something we have not covered yet. So, what do you think the classification is of a manticore?
I think they're dangerous.
It has a classification of 5-axis, known wizard killer.
Whoa.
Or anything Hagrid likes. Impossible to train or domesticate. The manticore is a highly dangerous Greek beast with the head of a man, the body of a lion, and the tail of a scorpion. As dangerous as the chimera and as rare, the manticore is reputed to croon softly as it devours its prey. Manticore skin repels almost all known charms, and the sting causes instant death.
Wow.
That's what we see in Germany.
Yes.
The manticore dance. That's what we see in Berlin, Germany, in the...
Fantastic Beasts.
Yep. In the prison. And we don't see its body, really, right? We just see the tail, the scorpion tail, coming out of there, I'm pretty sure. Because I don't remember seeing a man's head. And Newt is kind of the only one who knows what to do and how to kind of get past that.
Right. I feel like those were slightly different, though. I mean, he does the manticore dance. So what was that we saw in Fantastic Beasts?
Ooh, you think it wasn't a manticore?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it doesn't have the head of a human or the body of a lion.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's a picture. The manticore depicted in Fantastic Beasts. Please note, it lacks the traditional canonical features of its species. Okay, they mention it. They probably because it was better for the movie. Or maybe it was too hard to animate it that way. They just made a giant scorpion out of it.
Huh. Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it felt like it was more just straight scorpion. But, yeah. All right. Interesting. So, yeah. Originated in Greece and was rare as a chimera. The sting caused instant death. Yeah. I would stay away. So.
It looks really interesting because I have the picture of just the scorpions in my head from the movie. But there is some pictures on the wiki that look really cool where you have an actual, you know, like how we, the centaurs, they have human heads, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lion, like a beard. It looks like a human man with like beard and hair all over, you know, like a lion's mane around his face and then his lion body and a scorpion tail. Looks really cool.
Yeah.
Trading card.
Says in the notes here that in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, chapter 11, the Firebolt, it's mentioned.
Mm.
It also says that Goblet of Fire, chapter 13, Mad-Eye Moody, is where the manticore will come up again.
Whoa.
So.
And it is, yeah, it is the beast. Here it is said again. In 1932, when Newt came to rescue his brother from the Axtock prison in Germany, they encountered baby manticores. So maybe... You can explain it by saying, you know, the manticores, when they're babies, maybe they develop their human head and lion's body later on.
Mm-hmm.
The manticore mother killed and devoured two prisoners. Later, the brothers fled from it, which tried to drag them into her lair and eat them. So, yeah, there you go. Very dangerous creature. Wouldn't want to. Definitely would be afraid of it.
Yeah.
But if you could, I mean, again, if you could tame it, I know they say it's not tameable, but if you could, it would fight on my side. That'd be pretty cool.
Whoa. Wait, Hagrid somehow managed to get a manticore to breed with fire crabs, creating the hybrid blast-ended Scroots.
Nuh-uh.
That's what it says.
No way. The blast-ended Scroots are...
So that's Goblet of Fire, chapter 13, Mad-Eye Moody.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
That is wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither.
Cool.
We all remember the blast-ended Scroots. Yes.
He bred them. That is cool. Hagrid, that is wild.
Yeah.
Blast-ended Scroots. I guess they're not in Fantastic Beasts, yeah. Because Hagrid was the first one who actually bred them.
Right. So to answer the question you always ask, would I want to have a manticore? The answer is no. No, yeah. I would not. I will say this, though, in what is that movie? Yeah. There's a movie that came out that my niece Rachel loves, and it's these two individuals that's magic. I forget what it's called. But there's like a manticore, and she like guards this map in this restaurant. If anybody knows the name of that movie, like let me know. She sends them on a special quest. So, and she's pretty fierce and wild. So, yeah, cool. That was a really good emotional movie, and I can't think the name of it. So, sorry, guys. Slam on me. All right.
All righty. Learn something new. Ready for the last chapter of this book?
Yes.
Chapter 18, Dobby's Reward. As Ron, Harry, Ginny, and Lockhart enter Professor McGonagall's office, they are greeted by a wave of relief and gratitude. Arthur and Molly have been worried sick for their daughter and hug her tightly, while Professor McGonagall is clutching her chest overjoyed to see all her students alive and well. The adults are dying to hear how the boys managed to defeat the monster of Slytherin and save Ginny's life. Harry puts the hat, the sword, and the remainders of the diary on the table and begins to tell the tale. He hesitates when he gets to the part with Ginny and the diary, afraid they would expel her for that. But Dumbledore already knows what's going on and saves Harry from putting Ginny in an uncomfortable position. The headmaster flat out tells everybody how curious he is to learn how Voldemort enchanted Ginny, insinuating he's convinced of her innocence. Mrs. Weasley is perplexed. What has her baby girl to do with the Dark Lord? Harry and Ginny explain how Tom Riddle's diary has been writing back to them, slowly taking control of Ginny's mind. Dumbledore adds that it is not very well known that Lord Voldemort's real name used to be Tom Riddle. Ginny starts sobbing again, but Dumbledore assures her there will be no punishment and he sends her to the hospital wing. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley escort their daughter out, and even Professor McGonagall quickly leaves her office to organize a big feast in the Great Hall. The headmaster admits he has to eat his own words, and instead of expelling Harry and Ron for breaking more school rules, the two boys receive special awards for services to the school, as well as 100 points each for Gryffindor. After all, Dumbledore asks Ron to take the obliviated Lockhart to the hospital as well, and finally Harry and Dumbledore are alone. Dumbledore expresses his gratitude to Harry and explains that Fox could have only appeared to him because he showed true loyalty to Dumbledore, and that the sword could have only appeared to a true Gryffindor. Just when Harry is about to leave, Lucius Malfoy bursts through the door, followed by a quivering Dobby. Lucius is boiling with anger and in disbelief that Dumbledore has the audacity to come back to Hogwarts. But both Harry and Dumbledore do not fear Lucius. Dumbledore has been asked to come back by the other school governors and has received information that they have been blackmailed by Malfoy in the first place. Harry then, with a little help from Dobby, also puts two and two together. Lucius was the one who hid Riddle's diary among Ginny's books. Tired of all the way too accurate accusations, Lucius Malfoy turns on his heels and struts out the door, not without kicking Dobby through it first. Harry has a sudden idea. He grabs the old diary, puts it into one of his socks, and runs after Mr. Malfoy. He hands him back the sock with the diary, and Lucius, disgusted, flings the sock into Dobby's arms. This action causes the house elf to interpret it as a gift of clothing, which means Dobby is free. That does it for Malfoy, and he tries to attack Harry, but Dobby uses his powerful elf magic to protect Harry from his former master. Lucius has no choice but to swallow his pride and skedaddle. The little elf is beyond grateful that Harry has freed him from the tyranny of the Malfoys. After everything that happened this year, the entire school celebrates a marvelous feast deep into the night. Exams are canceled and the few days left in the term go by in a blink of an eye. Lucius Malfoy is sacked as a school governor and Ginny Weasley is back to normal, perfectly happy again. Too soon, they were on the Hogwarts Express journeying back to London. Before the trio go their separate ways, Harry gives Hermione and Ron his telephone number, hoping that he would have someone else other than Dudley to talk to this summer.
Great job.
It's hard sometimes. Words are hard sometimes.
That was good, though. I mean, think about the feast. That is like, I think you're right. It went late into the night. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning.
And they were all in pajamas.
Yeah, all in pajamas, still eating. It's kind of wild. It's like a kid's dream, which is just to get up and party.
And the deputy headmistress just announced all the exams are canceled. Don't worry about it, you know. They only have a few days left anyway, so.
You might have been sleeping there thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out, I'm worried, etc.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, though, what happens if you needed to like pass your newts?
That's what I'm thinking too.
Or your OWLs. Like, I feel like there was an exception made. Like, look, if you really need this,
Absolutely. All the fifth years and sixth.
There has to be a grade equivalency substitution situation. That's what I feel like went down. So
I'm wondering, I know we talked about this before. For example, Percy, didn't he talk about how he has his OWLs this year?
Yeah.
What year is Percy in? He must be a fifth year. Percy Weasley in the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Because he, yeah.
You need it. He wants to go to the ministry. He's a career guy. So, yeah, I feel like they're canceled. And maybe that was just for Harry's class. I feel like maybe your OWLs and your newts are different. Like, that might be...
Yeah.
Maybe like, yeah, everything else is canceled except for those. So...
I think so. And maybe they are... a little bit... Yeah. Because we see this all from Harry's eyes and ears. And he, as a second year, only heard exams are canceled. You know, everything else beyond that. If they made special announcements for the fifth year, sixth year, seventh years...
Right.
he doesn't hear it. He was just beyond happy that he didn't have to study. Everything's fine. His friend, Hermione. I mean,
she's back. She's alive.
She's back. And even though they knew she's alive and well, actually, and they could save her, it is probably terrifying to see your friend petrified, not moving, not interacting with you. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it we jumped right to the end of the chapter, but yeah,
well, kind of the middle, you know, there the, with the...
even the scene in the movie, I know there it seems more like it's the last day and it's more planned. It's not like a spontaneous feast like it is in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so awesome. The music hits and Hagrid comes back and everyone looks at him and just how he hugs everyone and Harry starts clapping. Everyone cheers at Hagrid and how the gamekeeper is back. It's so cool.
This all happens like boom. I mean, but from the time they come in to the office and leave, like within hours, they're celebrating. Within hours, Hagrid is back and then term kind of goes on for a little while. Right.
Yes.
Like then there's like sort of that wrap up or whatever.
Yeah.
So the moment in Dumbledore's office is...
It's actually, yeah, it's I think great. It's Professor McGonagall's office.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's wonderful. It's heartwarming. This is this entire scene, a little different because we have more people in there, which is great because I mean they don't know where Ginny is, and obviously her parents are there. So Mr. and Mrs. Weasley are sitting there, and it says Mrs. Weasley, who had been sitting crying in front of the fire, she leapt to her feet, closely followed by Mr. Weasley, and both of them flung themselves on their daughter.
Yeah.
Harry, however, was looking past them. Professor Dumbledore was standing by the mantelpiece, beaming, next to Professor McGonagall, who was taking great steadying gasps, clutching her chest. Fox went whooshing past Harry's ear and settled on Dumbledore's shoulder, just as Harry found himself and Ron being swept into Mrs. Weasley's tight embrace. "You saved her. You saved her. How did you do it?" And then McGonagall says, "I think we'd all like to know that." And it says she said it weakly. So Molly and Arthur are crying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they think Ginny might be dead.
I know. Imagine that. Imagine that. Like, that's awful, right? I mean, that's the whole point is everyone sort of like, this is it. This is the end.
Yeah.
This is the end. This creature has now taken Ginny Weasley and very well, almost did. Kill her, and
she was very close to
very close.
Dying.
Yep. So Ron, Harry go down. They do their thing. We read that last chapter, and very bravely rescue Ron's sister, Harry's future wife.
Yeah,
go ahead and say it. All right.
Yeah,
pretty awesome. So yeah, the that happens, and then as you get up here, there's a lot of things, and this happens a lot in the Harry Potter series, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Harry doesn't always know how to explain stuff, or how do I. Because there's always these adult authority figures who, like, are they going to believe me? Are they not? And you happen to have this winking, grinning old wizard.
That's so great, yeah.
Who just instinctively knows what happened and can see that you're going to come across a point in your storytelling where people may not believe you. And he, the authority figure, the headmaster, can step in and say, boy, isn't it great that, or isn't it curious that Voldemort possessed her?
Yeah.
Because he was like, how do I prove that? That's his whole thing is like, how do I prove that actually happened?
Yeah,
I was the only one there. Ginny's passed out.
Right. And he doesn't want Ginny to get in trouble. That's his whole point, too.
Right. Yep.
And Dumbledore takes that weight off his shoulder, even though Dumbledore doesn't know the full truth. That's why he needs Harry to tell him about the diary. He's probably had his suspicions. He knew he could put two and two together at that point. But then I think this is really something new to me, to him, this detail, because he says brilliant when Harry explains him how the diary has influenced and controlled Ginny and him, and how it was actually Voldemort or Tom Riddle himself, his memory in that diary. And I think when he says brilliant, Dumbledore says brilliant, of course he was probably the most brilliant student Hogwarts has ever seen.
Yeah, and that's where he takes us back to, you know, this being Tom Riddle, and then connecting it to Voldemort, and that's the bit that was also tough because Dumbledore knows that. A lot of people have forgot.
Yeah, no one really knows.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it even goes on to kind of say that, like, he when you look up Voldemort, he had changed so much from the time that he was a student. His charm is essentially gone. It's now terror and fright, and he rules through power and fear. So that Voldemort is so different from Tom Riddle that a lot of people don't make that connection, and they don't know that Tom Riddle is Voldemort.
Yeah.
That's the whole point, is he's changed his name. He wants to rid the world of that name.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyway. Anyway, yeah, just cool that he's able to pick up on that. They're very clever. It happens multiple times where Dumbledore and Harry seem to sort of like know each other, got each other's mm-hmm. backs. They're quickly picking up on things. Yeah. Like I was reading the other day when Kingsley and Cornelius Fudge show up to take Dumbledore in, and if you read that very closely, like multiple times Harry starts to say something about the DA, and he looks over and he sees this slight like Dumbledore knows Harry's watching him. He knows that he'll see this slight nod of the head, just a very subtle nod. And so yeah, they already in book two are picking up on, in front of people, we need to, you mm-hmm. need to talk to me later in private. We don't want to be having this conversation out in the open.
Right. There's already that connection and that, nonverbal communication that they do very well. Yeah, it's true. But this is very sweet after the Weasleys find out that Ginny's parents, find out that she's been controlled by the diary, and Arthur says, "Ginny," said Mr. Weasley, flabbergasted, "haven't I taught you anything? What have I always told you? Never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain. Mm. Why didn't you show the diary to me or your mother? A suspicious object like that. It was clearly full of dark magic."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wonder, though, I mean, does he use dark? He doesn't use dark magic, but he has tons of objects at home.
Yeah, that he's animating.
But you can't really see. But I guess like there's a difference. He says that can think for itself. Well, you could argue the Fort Anglia can definitely think for itself a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it was. I think the whole point is too is that he's talking to his younger daughter, like his youngest child, and you're not old enough yet to really make that call. It's sort of a broad don't trust anything that is that you can't see, you know, where it's thinking is happening and stuff like that. So
adults, parents enjoying a drink from time to time, but when they're kids, you know,
right, reach absolutely out. Not
no you no. can't judge
nine Well, remember earlier in the book when Ron was talking about books and diaries that like could think and talk.
So that's Ron, probably Arthur's influence.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he definitely had that in his mind, and he had heard from his dad or from others that these can cause trouble. He even had stories. He even had examples of where people got stuck never-ending reading. Like they would just go around and do their daily task, reading the book continuously for the rest of their life.
Yeah,
because they had been enchanted in some way or whatever, and it was difficult to undo. Yeah. But yeah, so there's definitely a little back and forth there, and she's just a young girl who was writing in it and got carried away, and it was writing back, and Voldemort's charming.
I just wondered. I thought it was cute how Arthur, you know, tells her off a little bit, but is so happy that she's there. And Arthur, I guess he knows what can be done to objects, to normal everyday objects. I know he prefers a book. It's not necessarily a Muggle object. A diary is something that the wizarding world knows. But he definitely knows what you can do with magic and enchanting objects. And he might not know, you know, about Horcruxes, but he definitely teaches his children to be aware of that because he
deals with it.
He deals with it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Another thing that I think is really interesting in this chapter is when Dumbledore mentions... So right away, he's giving kind of Ginny a break. She really can't come up with a good reason as to why she was doing this. Yeah. And she kind of, whatever, she forgot, yada, yada. I didn't know. Found it in one set of the books. And he basically is like, hey, hold on. Miss Weasley needs to go up to the hospital wing right away. He kind of gets her out of that, bails her out. So he bailed Harry out. Then he's bailing Ginny out here. And he's saying this has been a terrible ordeal. Do you think he's bailing these people out because he also himself didn't figure this out? Like Dumbledore is sort of like, thank God.
Yeah.
These kids figured this out because if they wouldn't, I mean, this is bad.
It is really bad.
This is bad.
It's true.
You know, it's said later, like Mrs. Weasley starts to contemplate later in the series, hey, has Dumbledore lost a step? He's older. I mean, this is one of the first signs right here.
And she, I mean, at that moment, before everyone walks in, they don't know where Ginny is. They don't even know where Ron and Harry are. Mm-hmm. So two of her children are gone. The headmaster failed to do anything about it.
Right.
And was she in that moment, was she more like still trusting Dumbledore and you know, hoping he would help? Or was she already a little like mad at him or resentful? Or
yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is too is that they're out of their this is an interesting point because they're out of their league. Like, yeah. This is the heir to Slytherin. This is something beyond them. This mm-hmm. is probably one of the greater accomplishments of Lord Voldemort or of Tom Riddle, was to actually find and locate that chamber that no one else could.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even in the film version, and I think here in the book it's alluded to, that they've searched the castle many times, and these professors cannot find it.
Yeah.
And it's the clues are right there in terms of, like, Moaning Myrtle being this ghost that no one went and thought to ask, how were you killed? And they didn't really investigate that. Now, Dippet is the headmaster at the time, and so, you know, Dumbledore sort of knew it's not Hagrid. It's not that simple, and he probably had people above him, the minister and his own headmaster, Dippet, saying, hey, Dumbledore, calm down. We're mm-hmm. not going to look into this much more, and so you kind of get forced to move on because your superiors tell you to do that. I'm not saying that Dumbledore would be told what to do necessarily because he's Dumbledore, but I feel like he can't outright openly investigate it maybe as much as he wants to. Although, when this book starts and the Chamber of Secrets is opened again, it's sort of like, why wasn't more done earlier? You just feel like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Why didn't you go to Moaning Myrtle and do more? So to me, this is one of the first big cracks. And I make the joke that, like, he's covering for Jenny, he's covering for Harry, because thank God they figured this out. And
I know. And I mean, in the end, it's kind of like the whole training Harry for this whole big task in the end. But right, it's kind of like, you know, he could have died.
Yeah, oh for sure. What's more disturbing, you know, had it just been Harry and had it been Dumbledore, not that I think he's like this, but if it's just Harry and he's, you know, there fighting Tom Riddle and so on, and Ginny's not involved...
Yeah.
Okay, then the bit of soul that's attached to Harry is also destroyed from the basilisk venom, and it's all whatever. That's one of the Horcruxes done and over with, and who knows what. Now, that's terribly awful to say and think about, but and I don't think Dumbledore wanted that at all. But when you throw Ginny in there, too, it's like now you have another kid, a whole other family, a pureblood family, like ancient wizarding family that is their child has been taken and you know. Like Moaning Myrtle was killed, and so, I mean, you know, it's a lot, but
definitely as
it's a new hurdle that they did not face very well, and they don't have a true defense against the Dark Arts teacher, so that's another thing.
That's another thing. He knows that Gilderoy is a joke. He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I mean, it's like you can't find anybody else, but then can't you step in and teach Dark Arts? No, because you know of the. Curse,
oh yeah,
you know?
True. Why? True. He's not
touching
it.
I wonder if a lot of people would have asked Dumbledore, why aren't you teaching it?
You know, that's a really good, interesting point, is that he does know that it is jinxed.
Yeah.
And he probably is picking people that he knows full well are okay with facing the jinx and being 1 year in and out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Somebody posed an interesting question. They said, why didn't he bring in the Aurors? One by one, why didn't he ask, like, get a partnership with them to come in for 1 year, teach, and be gone, and set up a program where, like, if you're Tonks and you're new and you're training, you might come in and teach a little bit of that to
make
kids.
It part of the Aura training.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Which I thought was like, that's really clever.
Yes.
I
like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so happiness all around. We are happy that this is.
Why couldn't Moody teach? Because he was never the teacher. He could have taught for one more year after that.
True. Wait a second, though.
He would have been a great teacher.
How does that... That's a great question. Like, how does the
jinx... But probably he was, you know...
How does the jinx work? Like, did Moody sign off on the paper as being the person who... That was his year, technically. You know what I'm saying?
The signature could be part of the
binding
spell.
Contracts. And so he's bound to 1 year, therefore he's jinxed. And who knows? Maybe that even affected him being caught off guard by the fact that he agreed to be the defense against the Dark Arts teacher, which allowed Barty Crouch Jr. to get the jump
right?
on.
Right? I mean, because if had Barty Crouch Jr. never taken the position for him and did everything he did to Moody, he could have very well been a long-term DADA teacher.
Yeah, can I just real quickly make a joke? So Barty Crouch Jr. is a lot to say, so BCJR.
BCJR.
Barty Crouch Jr. BC Jr.
Anyway. BC Jr., yeah.
Real quick, though, I wanted to mention, so Myrtle, when Myrtle sees them go down into what would be maybe the Chamber of Secrets, clearly I'm guessing she has heard, she's been in and out of the, she's not always in her bathroom.
Right.
She happens to haunt that area, but she does go out, and I think, wasn't she at the feast at the ghost, no, maybe she wasn't.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yes, she was. That's where they meet her the first time, Ron and Harry. Hermione has already met her. And she kind of introduces her, and she almost says like, I don't want to talk to her. And then Peeves does something mean. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So you know, she moves about the castle and she could go inform somebody of something.
Absolutely. Like, she could have.
Right. I'm wondering why Myrtle didn't go say they went down here, go to McGonagall, go to someone else, especially when she just gave them that information.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I mean, she's also trapped in the body of like a 16-year-old. I mean, she's a 16-year-old consciousness, whatever.
Right.
Ghost.
Oh, okay. Question for you. The snake moves inside the tubes.
The pipes.
Right, the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
But then how does it come out? To actually look people in the eye or
through
indirectly?
The toilet? I'm guessing through the toilet. It's the largest.
Like, that never made sense to me.
No, me neither.
Because they were somewhere in a corridor. The thing moves through the pipes, but then how does it get out?
The craziest thing is when we saw it in the film, I was sort of like, there is no way that thing was crawling through the pipes.
I know.
There's no way that wasn't breaking through like some. I mean, you see how easy it broke through stone and statues and stuff? I was like, and it just gently rolled around and.
I know.
and took out one by one. I guess because maybe if it is seen in the open, Dumbledore and the likes of them would have, they could have dueled it. They could have taken it out.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, so, he has Fox all the time with him, so.
Yeah, but still, that's a great point. I don't know how that.
Like, give me a good explanation. How did the basilisk, that's Hermione's explanation, is how does it move around the school without being seen through the pipes? But how does it get out when it attacks people?
Here's the thing. This is our long-term goal with this podcast is to move to Edinburgh and look into the castle features and see if maybe castles have larger pipes.
There you go.
I think they're more like tunnels and stuff. And because remember when they slid down through the sink or whatever, they're more, it's way bigger. Like those pipes are more like small tunnels.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Hogwarts has ever had that much water flowing down those.
I mean, they have a lot of students who have to go to the bathroom.
Yes. I guess so, but those are massive.
I know. what else? Maybe
flood tunnels down
maybe
there.
Maybe wizard poop is bigger.
Jeezy cow. I can't believe you just said that. Anyway, so yeah, my point earlier was Myrtle didn't go to anybody, and we got into pipes, and we'll go investigate the Edinburgh Castle one day.
Oh, we will. Yeah. I mean, stay tuned. 10 years later.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
14 years later? No, so 19 years later. That's it.
Yeah. 19. Yeah.
Because that's how many years go by until.
Lottie's trying to make a joke, guys.
It's terrible. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
No, it's good.
I'll stop now.
All right. Moving on. So,
By the way, just want to mention real quick a correction here. Percy was not in his fifth year, but sixth year. And that means they don't take exams sixth year. They only take the owls fifth year. So last year he has received like 12 great owls. Like he was really good. And then sixth year, you just prepare. You take your classes that you know you want to take newts in.
Yeah.
And then newts are in year seven, which means, you know, Harry never got to take his newt exams.
Right.
Or any of the others.
I heard he went back and took them.
He did?
I read that somewhere that he went back and
took. I mean, there must be a way. I feel like we had this conversation. There must be a way to have like.
Because Hermione goes on to be
secondary education. As an adult, if you somehow chose to not, your schooling.
It seems like it's more apprenticeship because Tonks goes and becomes an Auror and is trained by Mad-Eye. So there's more training and schooling going on there. But
All right, cool.
So we cleared that up. Exams were canceled for the students. Mm-hmm. And Percy's not affected this year. So.
True. All right, back to McGonagall's office. And Dumbledore kind of sends them out one by one. Until he's alone with Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ginny goes to the hospital wing, escorted by Mr. and Mrs. Weasley. McGonagall leaves to organize the great party.
Yeah.
and then it's just Ron, Harry, and Gilderoy.
Well, that's the funny. So Gilderoy has been there this whole time, just with this dazed look on his face. And in explaining what happened, he's like, well, honestly, you know, he used my wand and he tried a memory charm and it backfired. And he's like, impaled upon your own sword, Gilderoy. Sword? He's like, he says, I haven't got a sword. That boy has, though. He's just totally out of it. But
he'll
anyways,
lend you one.
Yeah. So then that's when Ron exits, right, which is to take Lockhart to the...
Not without receiving 100 points each for Gryffindor.
Let's go.
Of course. And then also they receive special awards for services to the school.
Yeah, how about them apples, Tom Riddle?
Mm-hmm.
Think you're the only person who gets... By the way, do they ever go back and remove his special award?
I hope so.
Right?
I was just saying...
Correct the record on that?
Who, 50 years from now, who's going to clean Harry and Ron's award as a detention?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. But anyway, special awards and their... You know, get some points. So all this is working out. It's starting to feel really good again, just like last year.
I know.
All over again.
Everything is well. So Ron and Lockhart are out. And then...
strange conversation here between Dumbledore and Harry.
Yep.
Where they start to talk about, it feels like, you know, Tom Riddle kind of said that he was very interested in seeing me. He said that I'm like him. That we have a strange likeness, he said.
Yeah.
And that is most intriguing to Dumbledore. Did he now, right? And what do you think, Harry? And this is where Harry's concerned about the idea that the Sorting Hat said that he'd have done well in Slytherin. And everyone thought I was Slytherin's heir for a while. Well, partly because he is holding that bit of Voldemort's soul, right? I mean, yep. He can speak Parsel tongue.
Yeah.
So he's definitely worried about that. And that's where it's his choice, we find out, as Dumbledore says to him, mm-hmm. you know, you chose Gryffindor. You yeah. chose to bring those other qualities in you forward and prize them and value them over the things that you had acquired essentially from
right.
Voldemort, from yeah. from the scar.
Yeah,
and that
your choice,
makes all the difference.
Right, your choice is way more important than your abilities. And that's what we see in someone like Neville. When you first think, well, I see a Gryffindor, it's because he values that. Not that the hat doesn't ask everybody, what house do you want to be in? I mean, Hogwarts Legacy, he does, but...
yeah, he does, thankfully, because I don't want to fight with him.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, there is people where you kind of wonder, oh, I would have thought they belong in a different house. But mm-hmm. it's the choice of that, your own choice. You can choose every day. You can choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every day you have the choice. You can do the things you've always been doing that lead you somewhere where you're like, I know this is leading away a little bit, but like, you know, just in our everyday lives, we have the choice every day.
Right.
What
right.
we want to do. And mm-hmm. and I think that's a beautiful, beautiful saying.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's like, I mean, you think of the hat stalls and you think of the people who could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's some ability to this. There's some of like your values and things that you like who you are. But then it's what trumps all of that is what who you decide to be.
Right.
And that's what Dumbledore lays on Harry, which mm-hmm. is great.
Mm-hmm.
So next, it's sort of an examination of the sword. And yeah. and the diary, right? So understanding more that Godric Gryffindor's sword truly does present itself to a true Gryffindor.
Yeah.
And that was huge. So that's reaffirming that, like, you would have, we'll get to the, you know, having to show Dumbledore loyalty, Fox comes down, you get the hat.
Yeah.
The sorting hat has been something that you've been sort of wrestling with in terms of thinking about, where am I sorted? I'm down here facing the heir of Slytherin. And then here appears Gryffindor's sword. And I'm able to use that to... kill the basilisk.
I thought that was the coolest thing back then when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
The prop, the sword in the movie looks so cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I was jealous because I knew I wasn't really a Gryffindor. I wouldn't be able to pull it out of the hat. But yeah. You know, I wonder if you were not a Gryffindor, would you pull an item out of your own?
What else?
Founder's mm-hmm. collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else could? Because we were I was watching, or I was even playing Hogwarts Legacy and even looking up more on, who was that? Hepzibah Smith.
Yeah.
Who is talking about Helga Hufflepuff's cup.
Right.
And says that it has many unknown powers mm-hmm. associated with it. Many unknown enchantments and things and stuff that it can do.
Yeah.
And they've not really investigated it fully. So what could it... Like, do you pull it out and it's full of some liquid luck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You drink that, and next thing you know, you're off and running. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of things would be really cool, like, and associated with a goblet? Like, what could a goblet do for you?
Would Wayne from Puffs, would he have gone down? Would he have pulled out Helga's cup and drank liquid luck and then defeated the monster?
That would have been awesome. If you guys haven't seen Puffs, again, that's our other play. We plug it all the time.
Yep.
Go see Puffs. Puffs Stick Together. It is an amazing play. You will laugh your rear ends off. It is so funny. But anyway, yeah. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, they if that was the, you know, if the hat is, yeah, if it's there and you can pull magical items from it, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes you wonder, too, like, if you had Godric Gryffindor's sword and it's not... there are magical enchantments that keep it locked up so that it can't appear to a Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm.
How does all of that work? You know, are there things that you could do to lock it down so that it cannot show up in a hat, so that the sorting hat could not summon it? Or does the sorting hat sort of have some sort of, I mean, it's sort of closely connected with Godric Gryffindor himself mm-hmm. too, right? That's his hat.
Yeah.
That they
used.
You
mean like, can the sorting hat appear, the sword appear without the hat?
Yeah, or even just like, because doesn't Neville pull it from the hat later? Or how does that work?
Ooh, is that how we did it? I don't
remember. That's how it's like.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. Maybe we'll do that in our EE. We'll look up some stuff about, that's what we'll do. We'll talk in our EE, because sometimes these emerge during the chapter. We'll look up some stuff on Neville, and we'll look up these different magical items, because I kind of want to know, like, what, well, you know. how like could they be kept? Could they be hidden
yes,
from people?
You can definitely keep them if you're not a Gryffindor because Snape kept it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to. I don't know how he got. He must have gotten it probably from Dumbledore, or Dumbledore told him. I don't remember it right now. But he at least can keep it, even though he's a Slytherin.
Right, but let's say Bellatrix had it in, mm-hmm. in her vault, like she believed that she did. And then you wanted to, the hat then appears to you, and you're in the Chamber of Secrets, like Harry is here. And, like, is there something, could it have been somewhere else where it's prohibited from coming to the hat? You know what I'm saying? Is there an enchantment?
Mm-hmm.
Can it leave Gringotts if it's actually there? You know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, if it's actually in a cell like that, is there something that would stop it from,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they often say that it's that the sword, you know, Dumbledore, he leaves the sword of Godric Gryffindor to Harry.
Yeah.
And we're told that, well, it can appear to any worthy Gryffindor. It's not that Gryffindor's property necessarily. So
right.
This is where I feel like we need to do some research and probably table this discussion and go on with the chapter and then talk more about it, you know, in our EE edition. So
yeah.
Sounds okay.
Good.
Now, at this point, we have Lucius Malfoy busting through the doors, wondering what in the world Dumbledore is doing back here. He almost knocks Harry over as he comes in.
Yep.
Dobby is there. He is quivering. He's crouched at the hem of his cloak. He's sort of like, I'm really nervous. Cat's out of the bag now.
Mm-hmm.
Harry now knows who I work for. And
yeah,
all
there's
that,
not
right?
really a reaction, though. I feel like they kind of suspected Dobby is Malfoy's. Didn't they? I feel like they did suspect it throughout the book. That, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sure. Anyway, so he comes in to confront Dumbledore and basically says that Dumbledore tells him that you were out threatening these governors,
mm-hmm.
blackmailing them possibly, and they believe that you're the reason that I was tossed. They felt like you were going to curse their family, and ultimately he ends up being deposed. Right, so he will lose his position as a governor because they went to Dumbledore and said, "Hey, this is what's up," and then you get the minister involved, you get other people involved, and vote him out. I mean, if he's going to be that way, vote him out. So they hear that Arthur Weasley's daughter had been killed, and they wanted him back. They wanted Dumbledore back as soon as possible.
So we see openly, and this is again one of those cases. Why is there not more done? We see again the law. System of the wizarding world is it seems to be terrible because Lucius blackmailed people, flat out blackmailed them. Nothing is done except for he's sacked.
Right. You know, the other thing too, and I was thinking, I was saying earlier about Dumbledore being covering up for Ginny and covering up for Harry, and like he couldn't figure this whole thing out. Well, maybe he was on to something. Maybe he was very close to figuring this out because he devoted most of his time to figuring out who's doing what.
But when
Lucius shows up and they take Hagrid and they depose Dumbledore, he might have been very close to being like, oh, I almost found it, almost figured it out, and now I have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So
True. That
could be an excuse as to why he maybe didn't get to the bottom of all of it before Ginny Weasley is taken.
Yeah. I found it here in chapter 3. They say when Harry tells Fred, George, and Ron about Dobby, they say, I reckon old Dobby was sent to stop you coming back to Hogwarts. Someone's idea of a joke. Can you think of anyone at school with a grudge against you? Yes, said Harry and Ron together instantly. Draco Malfoy. He hates me. And then they talk about Draco and Lucius Malfoy the whole time. And Harry was silent, judging by the fact that Draco Malfoy usually had the best of everything. His family was rolling in wizard gold. He could just see Malfoy strutting around a large manor house. And sending the family servant to stop Harry from going to Hogwarts also sounded exactly like the sort of thing Malfoy would do. So they had it figured out.
Yeah, they definitely their suspicions.
So it's not a surprise to Harry.
Yeah, interesting that in that moment though, like so sometimes their suspicions are wrong, and that time they're dead on. Other than it wasn't that Malfoy sent Dobby. Dobby goes of his own,
right?
Air
yeah.
quote free will,
true.
And is trying to help Harry. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's the struggle. Sometimes they have like really good intuition or instincts, and they think they know they can figure things out. Little investigators, little detectives, and they have half of it right.
Yeah.
But there's a really small portion that they're still missing. So
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, now we're basically trying to get a hold of the idea. I'm sorry, we're trying to understand how this diary ended up with Ginny. And how does this get here? This is where, yeah, Dobby is pointing first to the diary, then to Lucius Malfoy, then punching himself in the head. Poor guy. Yeah. That will be, hey, Dobby, hang in there. That's about to end, my friend. Okay? So, yeah, don't you want to know how Ginny got a hold of that diary, Mr. Malfoy? Said Harry. Lucius rounded on him. How should I know how the stupid little girl got a hold of it? Because you gave it to her. Ba-boom. Mm-hmm. Right? You picked up one of her Transfiguration books and you slipped the diary inside, didn't you? And, you know, he's got the, you know, Dobby referencing, you know, whatever. He's like, prove it. Isn't that, I mean, almost at that point when you say to somebody, prove it.
I know.
You kind of like nail in the coffin, sort of said like, yeah, it was me.
It was me, but you can't, like, and Dumbledore's calm. Dumbledore's like, yeah, we know, we can't prove it.
Right.
You know, now that the book, the spirit of the book, Lord Voldemort, is gone.
Right, exactly. Now, he does say, though, that Arthur Weasley would be able maybe to trace this back. If any more of Lord Voldemort's school things start showing up here, then we might make a connection between you and that item.
He's totally threatening him, yeah.
Yeah,
big time. Which is great.
So,
I just want to, I love, you know, seeing Arthur succeed over Lucius. It's great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But now we get, so the title of this is again, Dobby's Reward. Mm-hmm. So we're like, hold on a second. What's going to happen? Is it just that he's getting punished and kicked down the floor? Yeah, this mm-hmm. is terrible, the way that Malfoy treats him. And we're seeing it out in the open. And now we're, you know, even though they suspected that early on, now we truly get to see what it's like for this house elf to be born into servitude and born into this powerful wizarding family, mm-hmm. But not believe the way they believe, right? Yeah. And to be looking for a loophole, looking for a way out, which is something we want to talk about in another video at some point, because he's looking for a way, to break the terms or whatever of their...
Right.
Unwritten contract or whatever it is, whatever magic it is that's
and
binding
it's not
him
easy.
To the family.
We see it. Yeah. He has to punish himself every time he does something he was not asked or ordered to do. And this is, we learn later when we learn more about Creature that you can interpret as a house elf. You have kind of a room to interpret certain mm-hmm. orders, right?
Yeah.
Or commands. And that's why Harry later on has to be very careful wording his commands to Creature.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can't interpret to go anywhere else.
Right, right. When Narcissa and Bellatrix have a chance to talk to Creature, when they're actively looking mm-hmm. for loopholes and ways in which that, you know, he wasn't quite forbidden. What did he exactly forbid you to do? You know, can you tell us that?
Right.
I mean, so anyways, you can find ways around that. And also, if your intent as a house elf is to just obey, and you're even looking at maybe not exactly the wording per se, but maybe mm-hmm. you want to serve that master and you very much are in agreement with their decisions, you are either going to, you might even shore up any loopholes yourself. Mm-hmm. You might mm-hmm. even adhere more to the spirit of what they were saying.
Right.
Even if it's not entirely binding and there's no magic in terms of the words that were spoken to you and actually forbidding you or commanding you to do something or forbidding you from saying something. So as long as they understand the spirit of it, they could choose at mm-hmm. that point. It seems like there's some gray area and some wiggle room with we're speaking about Creature later on. Because what's interesting here is this sock is not given to him necessarily. It's just thrown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Harry runs up, hands him. He has the idea, put the diary in the sock. And,
right. This is different, right? That's very, very in the forefront of my mind. I have the movie thing where he puts the sock in the book. But in the book here, in the chapter, it's the other way around. He stuffs the diary mm-hmm. in his sock. And he hands Lucius his stinky sock.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucius is, of course, disgusted. And then... he just pulls off the sock off the diary.
Right.
And it looks like here it just says he throws it.
Yeah, it says threw it aside and then looked furiously from the ruined book to Harry.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense here because, you know, Malfoy is not likely to toss a diary to...
No.
To, if he's going to keep it, he might, I mean, you know, if it's handed to him, he's also not likely to just discard it on the side of the road and say, no, forget that, it's not mine, and just leave a diary like that laying around somewhere. It was clearly important, and he was told to keep it, and he knew that it was significant to the Dark Lord, and so he's entrusted with keeping it, or somehow he found it or acquired it. So it makes more sense that, like, if it's in a sock, that he's going to pull it out of the sock and say, this is disgusting, and toss that and keep the diary.
Right.
Instead of in the movie, he gives the diary to Dobby, and he's like, open it.
Yeah,
and it's like, no, this is more. But the whole point is that he threw it aside. That's what he says. He ripped the sock off the diary, threw it aside. And that is, he's like, you'll meet the same sticky end as your parents one of these days, Harry Potter. They were meddlesome fools, too. He turned to go. Come, Dobby. I said, come. But Dobby didn't move. He was holding up Harry's disgusting, slimy sock and looking at it as though it was a priceless treasure. Master has given a sock, and so Master gave it to Dobby.
That's the power of interpretation that the elf has. And we talked about it. We were like, okay, so do house elves never do their wizards and witches laundry?
Right.
But it's not really later
given to them, you know. So
most of them don't want to be freed. That's actually a how does Winky put it? It's a shameful to be freed.
Yeah.
To them, so most house elves don't want. They would not interpret it as Dobby did.
Yeah, depending on who they're working for, what the whole circumstance is, etc. Like if you're looking for a wiggle room, if you're looking for a clause to get out of it, like Dobby found one, and there you go. I feel like that same sock was thrown from Narcissa to Creature when she was younger, or Mrs. Black or whatever, is just tosses something to Creature, and, you know,
right,
like as if she's getting rid of it. Because that's sort of the thing here, is that Malfoy is not just saying, here, take this back home, wash it, and get, you know, it's like, no, I don't want it, you have it, see ya.
Master I'm threw it and Dobby caught it, and Dobby is free. That's what it says in the book.
Spell then, broken, enchantment freed, let's go.
Yeah, and here, I mean, we throughout the book we have seen Dobby has some incredible powers that we don't really understand 100%, and that are different from I mean, he can apparate on the grounds of Hogwarts, which normal wizards and witches can't. So here we get another glimpse, because he's free, he doesn't have a master anymore, and Malfoy is gonna, he flat out would have attacked Harry right there.
Absolutely.
I mean, even in the office, in McGonagall's office, he was already twitching his hand as if he wanted to grab his wand. But of course, he can't do that. And now he loses it, and he grabs his wand. But Dobby, there was a loud bang, and Mr. Malfoy was thrown backwards. So Dobby did some kind of magic.
Right.
Pushing him backwards.
And Lucius was just lunging at him. It says that he was lunged at Harry. He was just...
Right, he was first at lunging at him, and then Dobby throws him back. He got up, his face livid, and pulled out his wand, but Dobby raised a long, threatening finger. So he pulled out his wand after Dobby already pushed him back, and then Dobby says,
"You shall go now." Right? "You shall not touch Harry Potter. You shall go now." And then Lucius had no choice, with a last incensed stare at the pair of them. He swung his cloak around him and hurried out of sight. So now who's commanding who, right? I mean, he's sort of like, no, this ain't happening.
Yep.
Crazy.
And Dobby is so grateful. I mean, this is all he wanted. He hated it being the Malfoy's house elf. And he's a free spirit. He is an elf who actually enjoys his freedom.
Yeah. You know, there was, so it's almost like, I don't know if this is just clearing up a clause, but like earlier he had said, this has nothing to do with he who must not be named. Remember? And he's like, well, it was a clue, sir. He was giving you a clue. The Dark Lord, before he changed his name, could be freely named, you see?
Right. Oh, I totally missed that.
Right. Well, I better go. There's a feast. And so, so now he's sort of explaining, you know, what that, so now hold on a second.
Yeah.
What does that mean? So was given a clue.
Yeah.
The Dark Lord, before he changed his name, could be freely named. You see, did he know that was just he must have heard that that was Tom Riddle's diary. I don't think he knew that there was a spirit involved with it, but just that it was, maybe he did.
Yeah.
Maybe Lucius Malfoy suspected more about the diary and what it could do and just thought, well, let's just see. Let's toss it in there and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe he had written in it.
That's what I think I put this somewhere in. I think last week I had this on my doc as a question. Do you think Lucius Malfoy ever wrote in the diary and communicated with Tom Riddle? But I never, there was never a good moment to bring it up. So I have asked myself this question. So why don't we ask? I think I'm going to make an Instagram post. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Flora and Bill. I'm going to post the question. Do you think Lucius Malfoy has ever communicated with Tom Riddle in the diary? And if so, what did they talk about?
What did they talk about? And I think it's maybe, why he gets the idea to just, because otherwise it's just a diary sitting around. Why would you think that it would be important for it to go back to Hogwarts?
Yeah.
There's really no reason to send that back unless you're told.
We know, though, that clearly, Draco has never seen it because he doesn't recognize it when he finds it in Harry's book bag.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, hey, let's turn to the feast, though. Hogwarts is feasting. They are partying. Everybody's in their pajamas. It's all good. It's awesome. Hermione's back. You solved it. Let's go. And our guy, Justin, is also, our Hufflepuff, Justin Finch Fletchley.
Yeah.
Rolling down, gotta apologize, Harry. My bad, mate. Scary snake. You know, he doesn't say all that, but I mean, imagine he's thinking like, yeah, that was a snake, guys. I couldn't tell you. I was petrified, but we were wrong.
Yeah.
That was not Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, then they find out that Ron's 400 points for Gryffindor secured the House Cup again.
Boom.
Second year in a row. How about them apples?
Let's go. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom. Yes. Lockhart would be unable to return next year owing to the fact that he needed to go away and get back his memory charm. Now, that's the idea. I mean, here you have the idea that, okay, whether this jinx is on the position or not, it's not yet known. And it's not something that's really, it's still like, oh, here's a reason why. Maybe it's just because unfortunate circumstances and whatever. And as we go throughout the series, we're like, no, it's something else, you know, with that position. So.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Here we go. The rest of the term, though, passed in a haze of blazing sunshine. Hogwarts was back to normal with only a few small differences. Defense against the dark arts classes were canceled, but we've had plenty of practice at that anyway, Ron told a disgruntled Hermione. And Lucius Malfoy had been sacked as a school governor. Bye. Draco is no longer strutting around the school as though he owned the place. On the contrary, he looked resentful and sulky. On the other hand, Ginny Weasley was perfectly happy again.
Good for her.
Right. So it sounds like a cool little end to the school year there. I mean, like, you know, a few days left, no exams, and just show up at classes wrapping up. I mean, sort of like us coming out of our spring break here. We've got a couple weeks left. And let's wrap this up, guys.
I know. Everyone's actually so ready for just the last couple of weeks. One little hint, when they are on the Hogwarts Express, and we know it's a journey. Like, I mean, it's hours and hours on the Hogwarts Express, and they kind of, it's a good way to get together one last time and just hang out there. And you can do magic on the Hogwarts Express. So this is the last time you can enjoy practicing some magic before in the summer. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is when we find out that they played Exploding Snaps, set up the very last of Fred and George's filibuster fireworks, and practiced disarming each other by magic. Harry was getting very good at it.
Yes, he. Yep. Thank goodness, because he will continue to use that spell throughout the rest of the series.
Oh, and by the way, we find out
who's been snogging all year long. Who's been kissing down in the dungeons?
Percy's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, Penelope Clearwater. So that's who he was writing to all last summer, right? They've been meeting all over the school in secret. I walked in on them kissing in an empty classroom one day. Could you imagine? That would be a straight detention at my school. Hey.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You guys aren't supposed to be in here. It's a classroom.
In an empty classroom.
Here. I mean, get out. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then Fred and George, of course, they're like, you know, please don't tease him, says Ginny. And they're like, wouldn't dream of it.
Right, right.
Definitely not. Okay, we know how that goes.
Yeah.
And this is very sweet, the end. Do you want to read the end?
Which part?
When Harry, he writes down his telephone number.
Yes.
On
the
parchment paper.
Yeah, this is called a telephone number, he told Ron, scribbling it twice, tearing the parchment in two, and handing it to them. I told your dad how to use a telephone last summer. He'll know. Call me at the Dursleys, okay? I can't stand another 2 months with only Dudley to talk to. And so that's kind of a cool, you know, idea. He explained telephones to Arthur Weasley, and now he gets a phone call. Imagine how crazy that is for Ron.
I know.
To try a telephone and to call and talk to Harry.
Your fellatone.
Yeah. So.
I think he yells into the speaker.
Right. Thinking that he can't hear you. So I gotta speak up because he's all the way over there. Right. So nuts. It did remind me, we just, over our spring break, we actually binged a show called Wednesday, a really good Netflix show.
Oh, so good.
Wednesday's mother is always like, you know, dear, you missed my crystal ball call, right? Like, I crystal balled you a couple times, and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of a Wednesday, the show. It reminded me a lot of Bibi Blocksberg is a typical German, it used to be like audiobooks or audio tapes. A little witch. She is a witch who also lives, if you want, in a muggle world. And she goes, they produced a movie about it, and then she goes to a school where there's other witches as well. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they had, I think they had crystal balls and stuff. It just reminded me of that. And Wednesday is a great show.
Yeah.
It's just cool. I don't know what it is, but even though, as an adult, you're done with all the teenage stuff. You're done with school. Maybe it is because we are teachers, but like reading this about all the schools, it's my favorite part, right, is their normal day-by-day daily school stuff going on. Drama, fun,
right,
classes. And this is what Wednesday is all about, too, and with a little mystery, obviously. But, yeah. So we just enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, and that's pretty much it. You know, they walk back across into the muggle world. They get off the train and off they go. And Ron will be giving him a phone call later in the next book. So
that's it.
That is the end of Chamber of Secrets.
Wow.
Two books down. That is crazy.
We have made it through two books.
Yeah, it's fun. We were listening earlier today to our first chapter. As I said, we were reposting those over on YouTube, and we were listening to chapter one of The Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone, and it was so crazy to hear back almost a year ago, and in 1 year to have gotten through Sorcerer's Stone, and then Chamber feels really good, and so we're hoping in this next year to get through Prisoner, and then also, we won't get all the way through it, but I feel like Goblet of Fire will be, that'll be quite a...
Yeah.
Quite a book.
For Prisoner, we also probably have some very special guests coming on.
Yes.
So you can look forward to that. We definitely are. We are so excited for Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
This is where it gets really... I mean, we say this about every book, you know, we get more into the story and they get older. It gets a little darker, but
yeah.
I cannot wait, honestly.
Same.
And we want to take the chance and really, really... Thank you guys for coming along and listening to us and just being part of this journey. It really means so much to us, and we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, it is fun. We have some. I mentioned that story about, you know, earlier with the live stream and all the debacle, crazy stuff that happened, and many of you I reached out to, or you reached out to me, and it's fun. It's fun to chat with you guys over on the social media to get owls. We do have some owl posts for you guys actually that we want to read here in just a second. So it's just been really, really cool. And every day there's like somebody new who like pops in, leaves a comment, or comes over and checks out the podcast, or maybe they're just checking out Harry Potter hangout theory videos or something, and then they're wondering about the podcast. So it's cool. It's growing. And I you know, our goal has always been to just talk Potter and just hang out and enjoy it. Like we literally went to, like, we love going to Scotland. We love visiting castles over there. We went and looked at Harry Potter locations. I mean, we're those type of crazy people, right? So, you know, if you're crazy like us, then we want you here with us and journeying along. So what do we got? Let's do Outpost.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for writing in, Sharwi. Sharwi says, hey guys, first of all, I'd like to say that I really, really like your podcast and all the positive vibes that make my day. I live in Germany, so time and all that is different. Second of all, I was listening to the podcast. I forgot which episode, and I would like to share that
like Ron, it might sound completely crazy, I sometimes have dreams with snippets of the past or future. I don't know what they mean at the moment, but when I experience the moment, it feels like I have done this before. If you want, you can share this on the podcast. Kind regards, Sharwi. Thank you, Sharwi, for writing in, first of all.
Yeah, and hope we're saying that right. Best we could do with pronunciation. So really, I wanted to throw out here that I have had those types of dreams. Those things where you're like, you feel like as you're going through, life, and you come across a certain situation, you're like, I've dreamed about this.
Yeah.
This feels like a dream, and it feels like deja vu. Like this has happened before.
Absolutely, yeah.
What is that? You know, what is, that's a weird thing.
Thanks for sharing this. I mean, this is something some people experience more than others, but lately I've been having dreams too that are very, very vivid. Mm-hmm. And I have talked about this, by the way, on our, when we podcasted with our good friends, Lane and Sarah, on
Further Up.
Further Up, yep. Where we talk about Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Narnia. Right. Yeah, we talked about our dreams over there, yeah.
We talked about our dreams, and I now truly believe there is definitely a connection to another, you know, if you want, the spiritual realm or the big consciousness, some sort of connection we don't really understand.
Source energy.
No one can truly explain 100% how dreams work and why we dream. And I mean, there is some explanation, like your brain processes all the information and it needs time to process and probably categorize and do stuff with it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain why we then not dream everything that happened that day. You know, it's sometimes so random who appears in our dreams. And one dream that I shared was, for example, your mother visited me in a dream. And I have, unfortunately, I never, you know, met your mom in person.
Mm-hmm.
But in the dream, she was so clear. And when I told you what she did in that dream, you said, this is exactly how my mom was.
And I'm not the only one who said that. My aunt, when you told that the other day, said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And my sister was blown away.
Yeah.
And you told that to them separate from when you told me. And they were like, that's exactly.
Because your mother was passing out soup to you know, we were at a shelter of refugees and stuff. And your mom was passing out soup to everyone.
Giving orders,
telling everyone what to do.
Taking care of people.
And just taking care of the people. And that was, So, Sharwi, this is amazing, especially when you experience something and then it happens and you can actually connect it to a dream. So we don't know what it all means, but it's good that that life is still full of mysteries.
Mm-hmm,
and
there's
certain things we cannot 100% explain yet.
Yeah. Here's a trippy one. And I heard this from a friend years ago who said that they dream in, most of their dreams are black and white.
Okay.
Most of their dreams are black and white.
Wow.
And that every once in a while, and it doesn't happen often, maybe once every 3 months or 6 months or whenever, but not often, they will have a dream in color. And they believe that dream is the future. And oftentimes they've been prophetic dreams and things that they think are going to come.
I mean, there is such thing.
It's crazy. I was like, huh? That is absolutely wild. And, you know, dreams are happening inside of our own head. And as Dumbledore and Harry would say, just because it's happening right in our head doesn't mean it's not real.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening and we know about it. And it's crazy. Sometimes it feels crazy to share what happened in a dream because you're like, that.
Absolutely.
Are you embellishing? Did that really?
No, sometimes how can my brain put this and this together in a dream? Random. I mean, I have intentionally not told you the full version of that dream because it was really crazy.
I believe it.
Spider-Man showed up and stuff.
Yeah, Spider-Man shows up and is trying to knock down a building. Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, cool. And thank you for sharing. And anybody who wants to share stuff like that, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
We had some people share some spooky stuff around Halloween, right? And some things that were kind of haunting. Andrew sent us something cool. And so to hear about your dreams or odd paranormal activity stuff, it's cool. I love it. I think I want to hear more of it.
Yes, it's so neat to kind of get to know our listeners a little better. And yeah, love it.
Also, we never know who's listening from where. So right. If someone's listening from like England or Eastern Europe or Asia or wherever, like, let us know. I'd love to interact with people and figure out where people are from. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Next up, so thank you again for those of you who are participating in the review giveaway thing. We're still collecting reviews over there. So Melissa, thank you for writing this in. Just sort of said this is just on Tuesday. Ez and Lottie are a great host. This is a very feel good, cozy podcast and a great reread through Harry Potter. I also love that they do one chapter per episode, and we will continue that, by the way, throughout the entire series, because I know that people enjoy it. It's much easier to kind of find and things. So I have three small children and often listen during the evenings while cleaning up after they are in bed. It is such a great distraction and an enjoyable way to unwind after our crazy days.
This makes me so happy, Melissa, because I can totally relate to that. You know, like, you just want something to relax, and I'm so happy that we can provide that for you, and that's what
we want to do.
That's what we want to do, and that's what helped me through a lot of tough times. Like, for example, my master's thesis. This is how we met. This has so much meaning to our lives, and that's what we kind of want to give back. You know, it gave us so much, and we would love to give that also to other people.
Right. Yeah. We've always been. I think when we first started talking, like, we've been givers. We want to give. You know, whether it's just to educate or entertain or whatever it might be, like, we just enjoy talking Potter. We enjoy making new positive Potter friends, as we say all the time. Mm-hmm. That's the whole goal, is to build community and find people who enjoy something, you know, because there are plenty of Potter podcasts and YouTube channels that you can go check out to fill all your needs.
And love checking them out.
We love them. I 100%. I helped the girls over at Swish and Flick set up their podcast. That was my big contribution, and I am so happy about that, because it's brought so many, you know, I did that without wanting anything in return, and I really felt like that was a good, I really saw value in what they were doing, and I thought, this is really cool. However I can help, I want to help.
Yeah.
And I had people in my life telling me that was a bad thing, that you're wasting your time. You know, you shouldn't be, they're not giving you anything for this. Why are you spending all your time, you know, going up there? So I was like, because they're putting out really good energy. And so that was really at the time when I was involved with them. I thought, that's awesome. Yeah. So we always hope that's what we're doing. And it's always encouraging to hear from folks that, you know, hey, you you enjoy it and it's good. And I know there are some folks who tune in and listen for a couple episodes and like, that's in my cup of tea.
Yeah,
and that is totally fine. We appreciate all those people. And that's why we're glad that there are other ways in which you can consume more Potter content and, you know, get your little escape, because we're always listening to the books on the way home. We always have an ambience video on. We are always eating food, watching Harry Potter. That's literally always what we're doing. Harry Potter is in all of our feeds as we scroll through at the end of the night. So.
I mean, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, all those three, four. Sometimes I wish we had, like, you know, we don't want to become cyborgs and have like technology chips in our body, but sometimes I wish we had like 24/7 microphones around us.
Oh my gosh.
The conversations that sometimes come up between you and me about the Harry Potter theory or something that in the book or a connection we suddenly make.
It's nuts.
It's awesome. It's so much fun.
So much that we just have a doc. We're writing them all down. We're trying to like find time just to polish them up and get them out to you guys, which is our goal for Prisoner of Azkaban. So as we, you know, wrap this up here, we want to say thank you to people who write in, to people who comment, and to all of you just for listening. I never forget that. Even just people who chime in and listen. It's wonderful. It supports the podcast. It supports us, and it's cool. So. Yeah, Prisoner of Azkaban, though, we're going to be changing up the format a little bit. New intros for Lottie and I.
That's the goal,
A little new intro. If they got to check in the next episode, I'm going to be changing a few things up and just upping. You know, the fun thing about being a content creator or being someone who does podcasts and just trying to make something that is educational, entertaining, or whatever, is you can always improve it and find ways to get better at it, improve your audio quality, whatever it might be. And we're looking to do that in the next book. So hopefully, if that works for some people, cool. Some people are just sort of like, whatever. But for us, it's fun, and you'll be hearing some changes. So we wanted to prep you as we get ready to go into Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's all I got.
All right.
You got anything before I hit the outro? You look like you. No.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right. No. All right.
Hit it hard.
Whoa. Okay. I know what that means, which is, all right, friends. Well, that's all for this week. Is that hitting it hard? Like the, with the drum? Thank you for tuning
that's
in to Shell
College.
That's hitting it. Darn it. Okay. Thank you for tuning in to Shell College Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy, and we mean this, thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to the moon and back. Don't forget to leave us that review on Apple and enter our giveaway. Next week, we will start our journey through Book 3, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. We start, of course, with the chapter number 1, Owl Post. So make sure you tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest
your day.
Go west. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's our home. You're tough.
You're tough. You little puff.
It's true. I am a little puff. A little raven puff.
Lumos.
Expecto Patronum.
Whoa. What if that's how we started the podcast? Expecto Patrono.
Patrono?
Guys, it's not Patrono. Dun 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 dun
dun Knox.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.